Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
As always, I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Kate Sitars. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
And today we have the pleasure of being joined by CCA student extraordinaire, an expert copywriter, and also a member of our team, of the Nikki K Media team, of the Filthy Rich Writer team, Rebecca Houston. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi, Nikki.
Hello. We're always super excited to dig in and talk to copywriters and talk to students and all that kind of thing. But we're extra excited because Kate and I get the opportunity to work with you on a regular basis because you are one of the writers on our team.
Can't wait to get to that.
Yay. Can't wait to get to that. Yes.
That's a fun part of the story.
Yes, it is. But before we get there, slow your roll, Kate.
I know. My favorite part of the story, but it might not be. I shouldn't make assumptions.
You don't know what's coming. Yeah. Rebecca, first of all, thank you for being on the podcast. We're super excited to chat with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. How did you get interested in copywriting to begin with?
Yeah, so we'll take it right back. It definitely hasn't been a linear path, I think, like most people. Lots of twists and turns, which I'm sure we'll get onto. But I think most of my career choices up until copywriting were very heavily focused around my language skills. Mm-hmm. So I did German actually at university. Alongside business management, which did give me a lot of the kind of marketing context, which has been really useful now. But I was always very kind of heavily focused on the German side of things. And that was a skill I didn't really want to lose. And I clung on to that possibly longer than I should have in my careers going forward. So, I suppose you don't use it, you lose it, as they say. When I lived in Germany, I did actually work in marketing. So I did gain a lot of experience actually in copywriting within that role without probably realizing. But when I moved back to the UK after that, I think I definitely shifted more towards the language side of things, worked in translation and then eventually in teaching. So that was kind of the last thing I did before copywriting for 5 years. High school teacher, French and German. I know you've had a lot of teachers on here sharing their stories, a lot of which have inspired me to make this kind of career choice now. So really, really grateful to be here sharing my story as well. The relentless nature of teaching alongside lots of different issues. I suppose German is a little bit of a dying subject in the UK. I kind of want to protect myself from that a little bit as well. Started exploring different options, particularly during the pandemic, but also when I was on maternity leave, had a bit more time. And that's when I kind of came across the word copywriting. I think it was in a Facebook group for leave teaching, people sharing their different stories of things they've gone on to and that kind of stuff. And that's where I first saw the word. I then started lots of Googling, researching, that kind of thing. And that's when your very well-targeted ads kind of landed on me, I suppose. And I, yeah, quite quickly, I think, joined the CCA. That was back in July 2022.
Oh, wow. Very pretty recent. Yeah.
Pretty recent. Yeah.
So what was it, do you remember, what was it that kind of spoke to you about copywriting?
I think a lot of the skills, like I said, I've been so focused on the German side of things, I've kind of lost touch with a lot of other skills that, and just language in general, that I absolutely love, and using it in different ways, manipulating it in different ways to connect with people. I'd lost that side of it even with my own language, and I thought, you know, I can translate a lot of the skills I've been using into this, especially skills from teaching as well. I thought, you know, a lot of this translates well into this career. And just thinking back to English at school, you know, I think you never really do creative writing once you leave school, do you? And actually, when I think back to doing it there, I loved it. And it was an opportunity to kind of reconnect with that passion. And it's something I felt I've always been quite good at and really enjoyed and found kind of easy in a way, I suppose, compared to other things. So I just thought, yeah, this sounds like something I could get on board with. And on the other side of things, I've always been really interested in kind of setting up my own business in some regard. I never really knew what that would look like. But just the autonomy and the freedom of doing that has always really appealed to me. So it really did combine kind of the best of both worlds. And I just thought, yeah, I'm going to go for this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's terrific. Yeah. And so what was your path once you got into the CCA, once you started learning and digging in?
Yeah, so it was kind of halfway through my maternity leave that I signed up to the course. So it kind of felt a little bit like crunch time to get things up and running. I never really kind of went in with the expectation it would replace my teaching career. So I never thought, you know, I'm not going back to teaching after this. I kind of just thought I need to build it up to a point where it's kind of running as a side hustle, or, you know, I can pick up the skills and use them even when I go back to teaching. So I just thought, right, I'm going to take action. I'm just going to, you know, take action where I can. I was very much of that attitude, as opposed to I'm going to sit down and go through every single module and write loads of notes. I wasn't that kind of student at all. So I'm probably embarrassed to say my completion rate of some of the modules is not great, but I've kind of gone back and just used them as I've needed them. So that's been a really, really useful thing for me in lifetime access. Thank you, Nikki. but yeah, I was just very much into taking action. So I was getting the spec ads up and running as soon as I could, finding designers to work with. I think I was very keen to get feedback as soon as possible from the group. So that was a priority for me, to just get something in there to kind of, I guess, get the validation that I could do this. Yeah. I just wanted someone else to tell me, yeah, you're good at this. Like, that's, you know, all I needed to hear, really. So once I kind of had that, I was up and running a little bit more with my portfolio, getting that ready. But it was only a month after I joined the CCA, there was kind of a bit of luck in my way, I suppose. There was an opportunity posted in the CCA group by the lovely Adele, who I know you have had on here before. She's over at the National Women's Health Network doing great things, and she posted an opportunity for someone to write some kind of blog work for them. Originally, I think that's what it was. And I saw this and I just thought, yeah, this sounds great. And it was kind of topics that interested me about maternal health and things that were just very relevant to my life at the time. At that point, I had absolutely no portfolio kind of ready to show anyone. I had absolutely nothing. I had some spec ads that were completely irrelevant to this job. But I just thought, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to write something specific to this and let's just see what happens. I think it was probably a good thing I hadn't been in the group for a long time at this point, because I probably would have talked myself out of it if I'd been in there for a while and seen all the other amazing people in there. I just went for it. I emailed her and sent the blog that I'd written on one of the specific topics. Again, you're very value-based, as you always tell people. And, you know, to my absolute surprise, she emailed back a couple of days later saying, yeah, let's, you know, trial this out for a short while. It was actually more to do with their podcast that they were launching at the time. They wanted someone to write kind of show notes and content around each episode. So did that on a kind of trial basis for a few episodes. And then, yeah, took it from there, really. So that was my very first copywriting client, which is very exciting and allowed me to pay back the course very quickly. That was a bit of fortune and a bit of kind of, you know, taking action on my part. I think the combination of the two that got me there. That was kind of how I got the ball rolling.
I was gonna say, don't discredit yourself for all the work you did. Yeah, the fact that you took it, that's 99% of it. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, it would have been very easy to be like, no, I'm not ready. I should wait. There are other people, so many other people in the group. Somebody else is going to get this. And I don't say this, and I realize that tone might have come across a little condescending, but it's because I think it's the tone all of our brains speak in.
Yeah.
So good for you for doing it anyway, because that's what it comes down to. When it comes down to pitching, and they say this, you know this already, but for everybody listening, is that there's no downside to pitching, as long as you're not pitching in an annoying give me work kind of way. As long as you're pitching in a way that provides value, there's no downside ever. Yeah.
No. And I think, you know, that is very evident from providing just a specific blog that was written for that task that really helped. I think it was almost to my favor that I had no experience in this situation, because it allowed me to do that. And it, you know, I hadn't been pitching that much, so I hadn't kind of received the rejection, I suppose, at that point, to, you know, give me those kind of imposter syndrome feelings of, oh, well, what's the point of doing this blog? I'm not going to get a response or something. So I suppose it kind of went in my favor that this came quite early on.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you wrote that blog post, that you went the, it's funny because, you know, we say extra mile, but really in terms of what it took for you to write the blog post, it's not like it was like, oh, this is so difficult. You put in effort, certainly. And I'm sure you, when you wrote it, went back and revised it probably a couple of times, but it's not even often that we have to go the extra mile, but even just going like the extra couple of feet, because what you did by writing that blog post was demonstrate that you cared about this and you cared about this opportunity, and you wanted to really show that company, or excuse me, that organization, what you can do. And that the great thing is that it not only demonstrates your skill, which is certainly very important, but it demonstrates that you care. And it sounds like, well, I mean, obviously I care, I'm applying for the job, but I want to say to everybody listening that that's not true of most people. So many people that apply for work, or even that send in pitches, like, kind of don't care. So many people are just putting in the bare minimum. So when we show up and we write a great pitch, and we also, in your case, sometimes it'll be necessary, sometimes it won't, many times it won't be. But I love that, because you knew, oh, I don't have what I would love to show them in my portfolio, that you created something for them. And I'm kind of, it's a long-winded way of saying good job, really good job. And so where did your career progress from there?
Yeah, so I mean, it was an amazing opportunity anyway, but I think it also enabled this kind of light bulb moment for me. Maybe a few weeks down the line after, or a few months maybe after working with the National Women's Health Network, I just literally one day was just like, I think I was maybe struggling with what to pitch to clients initially. And I think a lot of people have that struggle very early on in their career, because they just don't have the experience of seeing the kind of materials that people need, or use the kind of the whole customer journey and how things fit together. So I was struggling really with what I was offering to clients. And then I just suddenly thought, well, if the National Women's Health Network needed this whole document of, you know, different content to go alongside their podcast, then surely most other podcasters would be very interested in this as well. So I just decided to take this formula and go to lots of other different podcasters with it. You know, podcasts are huge at the minute, but it's a lot of work, as I'm sure you'll know, Nikki. There's a lot that goes into it, and there's just a lot of valuable content there that you could be using for your business. So I just felt so much more confident once I had this specific kind of offer to go in with, which has then been like a real gateway to lots of other opportunities with various clients. But yeah, this kind of formula has set me up in that way. And it's something I'm still doing now with lots of people. And I love it, because I get to listen to loads of different podcasts on loads of different things, which is very exciting and one of the great perks of doing it.
I love it. I love the story so far, and I know there's more coming. But now I'm curious, because if I'm not mistaken, you're actually not teaching at all anymore, right?
No, not at all. So my initial kind of thing of thinking this was going to be a side hustle, it turned out not to be a side hustle, and I did go straight into it. I did not go back to teaching after my maternity leave, which was bolshy to say the least. But you know, after landing the women's health thing and just getting that confidence, and then I think I got another couple of additional clients on top of that, I basically matched what I would be earning as a part-time teacher. for a lot less stress, for a lot less working hour, fewer working hours, and all the rest of it. So it just didn't make sense to me to go back. I could see I was making it work, and I just wanted to continue on the path. I knew if I went back to teaching, I would not continue in the same way that had been. You kind of lose everything you built up. You wouldn't have the time to work on it, and it would just get put to the side. So I just thought it's kind of all or nothing at this point. So obviously had the kind of difficult conversation with my partner of, I'm just not going to go back. Is that okay? and luckily he was a lot more supportive than I'd expected. And I think, again, because he'd seen the hard work I put in, and the results that I'd got so far, he was a lot more willing to go along with it than if, you know, maybe I hadn't had that. So yeah, I didn't go back. I went full force into copywriting. I'm only doing it kind of part-time-ish. I say ish. So kind of technically 3 days a week, but there is a lot more that kind of goes into evenings and weekends and stuff. But technically part-time, obviously it's a lot more flexible in that regard. So yeah, that was kind of back in January, February time, 2023. I should have been returning to work, but that's when I kind of officially, I'm going to say, went full force on my freelance career with copywriting.
Yay, good for you.
Amazing.
Good for you.
And now with the flexibility too, how's that been with having your son and being able to, you know, not go back after maternity leave? Like that's huge.
It's enormous. I literally could not imagine my life now being a teacher. I don't even know how people do it. Kudos to anyone that does manage that, because I cannot imagine it. The fact I get to spend time with him in the morning, go and pick him up, have those evenings together, not be stressing at weekends about planning and marking and all the other stuff that goes with it, and just have really good quality time with him has been unbelievable. I have a lot more energy with him than I would have. I mean, teaching is just a draining job. You know, you come home at the end of the day and you have no capacity for anything. And I just wouldn't want that for him. I really feel like I've been able to give the best of me to him, which hopefully is setting him up for great things as well as he gets older. So I'm just really so grateful to you, Nikki, for giving me this opportunity to have this flexible life as I've been bringing him up, because it honestly is not just benefiting me, it's benefiting him as well. So thank you.
Oh, well, you're so welcome, but you've done all the hard work.
Yeah.
And as part of transitioning into working as a copywriter instead of teaching, you have joined our team. Can you give people a little bit of insight into how that ended up happening?
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of went along with the same sort of podcast idea as I've been using for a lot of different other kind of pitching for clients and stuff. And I noticed that you'd started your Energize Your Online Business podcast with the Circuit Sales System quite recently. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to treat this like I would any other podcaster that I would reach out to. You know, maybe you need support with that kind of side of things, even if it's in a different format. And I just thought, you know, let's do the normal thing. Let's go in with a value-based pitch. Let's show them what, you know, they might benefit from. And I just tried not to let, you know, I didn't think about it too much in terms of, oh my God, this is Nikki and Kate. And I just thought, let's go for it and treat this as a normal pitch. And yeah, I literally could not believe it when I got an email back saying that you were kind of looking for support with this anyway. So this is just my top piece of advice to anyone out there, is if you're kind of umming and ahhing about pitching someone because you think, oh, maybe they don't need my help, just go for it, because it could literally change your life like you guys have changed mine. And you might get to work with your absolute dream client. You might get to have one-to-ones with Kate Sitars every month and all the amazing things that come with it. So yeah, pitch that client. If you're thinking about it, just do it, because that was kind of the case for me. I just went with it, and it was and kind of case of right place, right time, I think, with that one. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, the thing is too, is that something that we talk about, and you know, we talk about a lot with students, is that sometimes that pitch, that idea can just be what it takes to get your foot in the door. Now, mm-hmm. we did actually think, oh, we could be, had been thinking like, oh, I wonder if we want to bring someone on to be doing the show notes. But in addition to show notes, you work with us on all kinds of other projects too. Mm-hmm. And we know, because we've worked with you on show notes, that we know we have a resource in you, a writer in you, that we can rely on to do all kinds of different work. And yes, it happened to be serendipitously in that moment that we were looking at building up our writing team. And yes, you did see an opportunity from the outside. I think my point is that it would have been worth pitching us, even if you hadn't seen an opportunity to, because we were, that's, I think that's what I'm trying to say, is we had show notes, right? It's not like we were sending out a podcast without show notes. So I don't want anybody listening to think, well, she saw something they weren't doing and they should be doing, and then she pitched them. So I have to be looking for something companies aren't doing. No. We had show notes, but Rebecca looked at them and thought, you know what? These are fine as is. I think I could improve them. And that's also, by the way that she came at it. It wasn't your show notes suck. Here's how you should do them instead, which of course, as we know, is never a way that you want to pitch a company, but saying, hey, what you have is good. Here's how I think I could be an asset to you and improve them. And she got her foot in the door with show notes, yes. But now we have had, we enjoy working with her, first of all. But second of all, she's a skilled and talented writer. And so once we knew that, we could say, oh, all right, let's see how Rebecca does with this email. Okay. Oh, she did great with that. Okay. Let's see how she does with this. And let's see how she does with this. So sometimes pitching is really just a matter of getting your foot in the door and showing people that you're out there and that you can help them. And then they'll let you in, and then it can become a much bigger project, which benefits you as a copywriter, yes, but also benefits the client. I am here to tell you, as a client on this side, I am very glad that Rebecca pitched us.
Yeah. And we were a typical client. I feel like we had, this wasn't a job we had posted at all, to Nikki's point, and that we had show notes. I think we even brought you in on other projects first because we were like, nah, show notes are fine, like whatever. And then you came in and it was like, oh no, she's so good. Like we knew she was good, but like, let's get her on everything we possibly can. But yeah, we hadn't posted this job because we were like, yeah, we kind of need copies. You know, we're in that place of too busy to post a job. And so then getting this pitch was like, oh, this is exactly what we need. So yeah, couldn't be happier is all that's to say that you reached out.
Mm-hmm. And I think to that point as well, about what's been particularly great about the podcast is that when you're spending half an hour listening to a client every single week, you're really nailing down that kind of brand voice so much that, you know, no one else is having that opportunity, and they're just going to look at you and think, oh, you know this business inside out, you know how I speak, you know all this terminology that I use, you know, let's get you doing this and this and this. And it has just been that gateway to so many other projects. You know, once they see the value you're bringing with the show notes, it, you know, kind of expands out to lots of other things as well. So that's been really, really useful.
That's such a great point. Yeah. What a great way to do research. Even if you're not pitching for podcast notes, if a business owner is on and speaking regularly, what a great way to learn their brand voice, maybe even before you begin pitching them, because it's only going to benefit you if you're learning more and stretching your abilities in terms of different brand voices. That's terrific. Yeah.
Also for pitching, I just want to say, if you're struggling in terms of who to pitch or how to pitch, I don't think people mention enough that you can go into such a rabbit hole with podcasting in terms of finding different people and connections between different people. I think that's been something that's really helped me when I first went in with pitching, is this kind of in-person bias almost of saying, oh, like I saw you were on this person's podcast, or this person said this about you. And because they know that person, maybe it's their friend or a connection, they just build up a bit more kind of trust with you in terms of your pitch and that kind of thing. So if you're struggling for ways to find people that you might want to work with, I would definitely say just get on Spotify or Apple or whatever it is and just look at topics that interest you, podcasts that interest you. And, you know, you can end up finding hundreds and hundreds of people that you could be working with. So
Yeah, exactly. That's if someone is looking to build a podcast, they are looking generally to build their business. So who knows what the opportunities can be. Yeah, I agree. That's fantastic.
And all the connections you made too. Like, we needed another podcast editing resource, and Rebecca, you recommended someone to us, which was wonderful. And then he was talking about how great you are to work with. And I'm sure, so if someone asked him, like, hey, do you have someone that can do this? He'd be like, yeah, Rebecca. And so it becomes this whole network, I'm sure you have now too, of folks that you've worked with, which is just incredible.
Yeah. I feel like it's not talked about enough, this kind of avenue of exploring new opportunities. And, you know, you don't have to just sit on Google and, you know, randomly look for people if that's not your thing. You know, it can be different. It can look different. So yeah, I'd encourage anyone to look into this if they're struggling for a system of finding clients or networking or anything like that, finding businesses, definitely give it a go. Yeah.
Well, and so we know, and we're very glad that you are working with us now and working with, of course, several other clients. But do you have any sense yet for what your future plans are for your copywriting career, which great if you do, totally fine if you don't, if you're kind of taking it day by day. But do you have any sense of where you'd like to head?
So I think, yeah, I'm definitely limited in terms of time at the moment. So in terms of maybe financial goals and things like that, I'm just very much grateful of the place that I've got to. I know you talk a lot about the gap in the gain, and I think I'm at a point now where I really just want to kind of appreciate where I've got to and keep delivering great value to the clients that I have. I absolutely love the clients that I work with, and I want to kind of explore more ways to help them, offer more value to them, and make that my main focus, as opposed to kind of building up more revenue or anything like that. That's probably my main focus for this year. And then maybe as more time opens up, as my son gets a bit older, I'll definitely explore, you know, kind of new ways to boost income a little bit and things like that. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose that's my main goal for this year, and just exploring new types of media. I know I do a lot of podcast stuff, but I would like to open maybe a few more doors in terms of experience with other types of copy and that kind of thing. So yeah, that's probably my main focus for this year.
Very exciting. Excellent. Good. We have projects coming up.
Oh, exciting.
So now, Rebecca, if someone is listening and they're thinking, oh, I'm kind of interested, maybe they're a teacher and looking to get out of it, or maybe they're the parent of a young child, or anything along those lines, or maybe they're just thinking you're an awesome person, which they are correct. exactly. If they're listening and thinking, all right, this is maybe copywriting is something for me. Maybe this is something I want to get into. What would you tell them? What kind of advice would you offer?
I'd say, first of all, you don't need to know everything before going into this. I mean, you know, I had my little bit of marketing experience, which I suppose gave me a bit of confidence going into it, but you don't even need that. You know, everything is within the course that you need. So if you think you're someone that has a passion for writing and this is something that you could get on board with, then just start taking action. You know, that's the biggest thing I can tell you. Don't about modules and making notes and all this kind of thing. Just, you know, practice makes perfect. Get in there with pitching. Don't be afraid. I think, you know, there is a lot of scary elements about freelancing, definitely. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. I mean, this summer, I did lose 2 clients just kind of under circumstance. It happens. It was within, I think, 2 weeks of each other. And it was a bit of a heart sink moment of, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? But you just got to dust yourself off and have faith in the system, and the system works. You know, when you deliver value to clients, I think I replaced one of them within a week. And it's just crazy, you know, how much this system really does work. So my biggest piece of advice is to just take action. Get your foot in the door somewhere. I think referrals will open up through clients. You don't have to worry about spending your whole life pitching. Things do get easier once you get started. It's just the getting started, I think, that's the hard bit for a lot of people. So yeah.
I agree. Love it. Well, and you mentioned that you found writing easy, that you had a natural ability for, a natural talent for it, which I think a lot of our audience, our followers, and our students have that feeling as well. Once you got out into the world, I realize you were already into the world, but once you started working with clients, did you find that clients kind of felt the same way about writing, or did you find it was a little bit different for people?
I mean, obviously, you guys aside, I would say, yeah, the majority of my clients are constantly saying to me, I just can't write, or phrases like, you know, it takes me this long to write an email. I'm so happy to just give this to you. They really do struggle to put words onto paper, I think, even though it's their business. I think sometimes it's a case of they're so within their business and so close to everything, they find it hard to kind of see things through their target audience's eyes and phrase things in a way that resonates with them. There's that side of things. But I think in general, a lot of them do just struggle. A lot of them kind of work in kind of medicine, healthcare, that kind of thing. And they're not wordy people. I mean, it really depends on the field, I suppose. But a lot of my clients are saying to me, you know, this is taking me hours and hours to do. Please, can you do this? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't come naturally to everyone. So if you're thinking, you know, well, if I'm good at writing, then why would my clients think this? You know, that's not the case at all. People do struggle with this. It does take up a lot of their time, even if they are good at it. So you are definitely providing a really valuable service to them if you can take that off their plate.
Yeah. Isn't that funny that we have a natural talent, and because we have a natural talent, and I'm not necessarily saying that you do this, but we see this a lot, and I'm sure I've done it in my past, but we have a natural talent for something. So we just assume that because we have a natural talent for it, that it's it's not valuable, or that it's not something like, well, I do
too easy.
I find it easy. Everybody else must find it easy. Exactly. Yes. It should be harder. I need to struggle more. And that's, and certainly there is a learning curve when it comes to copywriting. I know, Rebecca, that you can attest to that, but just because, and this is saying this to everybody, just because you find something easy or you have a natural talent for it, doesn't mean it's not valuable. And in fact, in many ways, I would think that that almost in a way makes it extra valuable that you have this talent that you can build on by getting some training and then providing it to people who don't have that natural talent for it, who don't find it easy or enjoyable or any one of the other wonderful things that we have to say about writing.
Yeah. And I think because it's writing, it's something that everyone does nearly every day in some form, that kind of adds to that feeling of, you know, well, everyone can do it kind of thing. But it's more than that. It's not just writing. I mean, writing's half of it, but it's also connecting with an audience and writing things in a message which resonates with them and their pain points and how they're feeling. So writing is a chunk of it, definitely. And it helps, obviously, if you find that easier, if that comes more naturally to you. But there is so much more to it as well. And that's been a big part of my learning journey over the past couple of years as well. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you've done it so well.
You have. Do you have any advice to people who might be thinking, ooh, I might want to pitch some other copywriter, someone with a writing background? Do you have advice for, I know, speaking for myself, the first time I was, you know, writing something, I'm like, ooh, Nikki's going to see this. Like, I got to like really put my best copywriting shoes on, you know. Did you have any of that? I don't want to be presumptuous, but just thinking like, was there any kind of mindset-y stuff that you had to work on to be like, okay, I'm going to deliver this and I know it's good and their copywriter is going to review this, but it's okay. Like,
I guess you have to kind of think of it from the point of this is bettering me so much as a copywriter, even if I get feedback about it, you know, it's coming from someone with tons of experience and that can only help me. So I think, you know, there are going to be things that you pick up on, obviously, you know, you're so much more experienced than I am, but I love that. And I love that I get to work with you and you can guide me in certain areas where I'm maybe not as strong or whatever it is. So if you are thinking about pitching to someone that has a writing background, don't let that put you off. You know, if anything, they'll be able to spot things that you do well and give you good feedback on that. But they, you know, you might get useful feedback as well that will improve you as a copywriter. So don't feel too scared. It obviously did take me a lot more time at the beginning, I think, when I was delivering projects than with other clients who don't have a writing background. But again, that can only help me and the service that I'm providing. So I'm grateful for that, if anything. I'm really grateful for that. So yeah, thank you again for adding me to your team.
Thank you. Let's toot Rebecca's horn. She's been knocking things out of the park left and right with minimal feedback. So yeah, kudos to you. But that's really good advice. But you get it.
Well, and
toot that horn.
and on the other side too, on the client side, you know, as someone who receives pitches, not just for copywriting, certainly we get pitches for all kinds of different services and agencies and all that kind of stuff. But on the client side, the only ones that I ever really like roll my eyes at or go like, are the ones where people clearly didn't put in any effort. Have we gotten pitched by copywriters before? We absolutely have. And the pitches will usually be something like, clearly copywriters that have not come through our program. The pitches will be something like, hey, do you ever need any writing help? Mm-hmm. Let me know. Like, oh no, you know. And the same thing with pitches for other kinds of services, because it's about them. They haven't done any research into the company. You know, I'll get things to say like, hey, at Nikki K Media, I just learned about Nikki K Media and I'm so excited to reach out to you because we help other agencies, but like, well, we're not an agency. So we didn't even do the bare minimum. So it's kind of getting back to that going the extra mile, the process that all of you are learning for pitching, the pitching that putting value first. We want to really focus on this for you because it's from the client side, it's going to feel a whole lot like you've gone the extra mile. But from our side, we want, as copywriters, we want this to become natural for you, not just pitching, focusing on value, but every conversation with your clients focusing on value, messaging, well, hey, I had this idea, all that kind of being a partner, a true member of the team. Like, yes, Rebecca is, she's freelance, but she's part of our team. And in fact, most of our team are freelancers, but they're part of our team. And when all of you pitch yourself in a way that is focused on benefiting someone's business, first and foremost, you demonstrate that you have that potential to be a team member. And that is what sets pitches apart. And that's why one of the reasons that we got in touch with Rebecca. And so just a little bit of feedback from the class, as someone who gets a lot of pitches, and a lot of them, quite frankly, are real bad, but none of them have ever been the style that we teach, that the value based. And then I realized that your schedule is busy. Part of that is us, quite frankly. Yeah. but if someone is listening and they're thinking, oh my gosh, Rebecca's amazing. I want to see her stuff, and I want to see if maybe she has time for us as well. How can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find most of my information on my website, which is thecoffeemachine.co.uk. And I will definitely make sure it's all up to date by the time this goes out.
We will have a deadline for you. No worries. Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I'm doing this.
Yes, right. The best reason to come on the podcast.
I need the pressure.
Yes.
Humans need deadlines. Nikki says it all the time.
It's true.
Especially when you're working, right? Because
exactly.
You're like, I don't need to update it.
Yeah. Yeah. On your own stuff. Exactly.
But we will link to Rebecca's portfolio if you want to look at it. So you can click.
I will make sure it's in the show notes.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I will personally make sure.
I totally forgot how many this is. Wow. Should we have someone else do your show notes? I feel bad.
No. Well, unless it's awkward, but
I know.
I get to pick myself up.
Exactly. I'd be like, the best copywriter they've spoken with yet.
Oh, I hope you do something like
it. Yeah, so if you're listening, check the show notes just to see.
I get to do the title.
Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, you can. Yeah. Usually, yeah.
So exciting. We'll see.
I know.
Amazing.
This is so fun. I love it.
So Rebecca, thank you again, number one, for, of course, coming on the podcast.
Pitching us to come on the podcast. And
pitching us to come on the podcast. Duh moment. Exactly. And then before that, of course, thank you for pitching us to work with us. And thank you for working with us on a daily basis. We are thrilled and can't wait to continue working.
We're so lucky.
Well, thank you, first of all, for the course, which changed my life. And secondly, thank you for welcoming me onto your team, which has just been an amazing experience so far to work with all of you guys. I love it. It's absolutely the favorite part of my day doing work for you guys. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
To keep the favorite client status. You got to give us what else we have to do to keep that spot.
You're well ahead.
Oh, amazing. Well, thank you. And with that, we will catch you all in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.